up, time to weep and a time to laugh, time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. I want to speak to you on two words. It's time. I know it's a hyphenated word. It's time. It's time. Father, I pray that you bless us this afternoon. Speak to our hearts in this very simple message. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I was born, as most of you know, in 1959. From 1959 to 2020, although I have not reached my birthday yet, but those years from 1959 to 2022, rather, is 63 years. Looking forward when I was a child to 2022 seemed like it was a long ways away. It seemed like forever. Looking back as a seasoned man, it seems like it was just a blink. In 1959, my research said that the average price of gasoline was 29 cents. I remember my dad buying gas at 19.9. He would drive all the way across town. My mother would make fun of him that he used more gas to drive all the way to Butler to get the cheap gas than if he bought it local. And of course, today, the national average as of yesterday was $5.01 a gallon. Now, they tell us that 76% of Americans commute in 2022. 76% of Americans commute to work in a car. In 1959, less than 40% of people owned a car. TV was just becoming common in American homes. It would be six more years till 1965 when color TV became common to the public. So when I was born, color TV didn't really exist. In the year I was born, 1959, there were 48 states. One state came quickly in January and then one later. There were only 48 states when I was born. Computers did not become common in homes until 1980, in the 80s. And that's when I was in my 20s. So when I was born, computers were only things that NASA had. And then I started thinking, you know, here I am at 2022, looking back to 1959. I'm sort of wondering if there was somebody in 1959 looking back over 63 years. If they looked back from 1959, 63 years back, do you realize what year it would have been? 1896. So as I stand here in 2022 and look back to my birth at 59, if there was somebody in 59 looking back, they'd have been looking back to 1896. Cars wouldn't even become common until 1908 with Henry Ford, 12 years later. It would take seven more years for the Wright brothers to make their first flight in a motor-driven airplane. Indoor toilets would not even become popular for 35 more years until 1931. And in 1896, there were 44 states. And as they look from 1959 backwards, they would be looking from 48 states to 44. And I look from 48 to 50. You understand the picture I'm making? Help me out a little bit here. Brother Albright, can you help me? Josh, can you help me? Just stand right here, Brother Albright. Stare out at the crowd and look handsome. Josh, come over here. Stand right here. Look out at the crowd and, well, just look out at the crowd. Do you get the picture? I'm 1959. I'm sorry. He's 1896. He's 2022. You see the timeline? I stand here looking back to here and realize in that 63 years, all that's changed and all that's happened. From 48 states to 50, from black and white TV with three stations to colored TV, to all the electronics we have today, to cars being uncommon, to cars being absolutely common. But if I was him here looking back to 1869, indoor plumbing's not even popular for 35 more years. 44 states. It's the timeline. It's the timeline. Here's what I want you to understand. When it comes to time, time keeps marching on. And at some point, things can't always stay the way they are. Time demands change. Now, everybody knows me knows I hate change. I just hate it. Kathy number one, that's Kathy with the IE, Kathy-ish. Kathy number one, Kathy number two. Kathy number one came in this morning and she said, "Pastor, I want to show you something. I have an idea to change something." I said, "No." She said, "But you don't even know what it is." I said, "No. I don't care. My answer is no. I have too much going on that's changing. I don't want change. I don't like change. I despise change. But I got news for you. From 1959 when I was born to 2022, a lot's changed. And goodness gracious, if I look in that direction to 1896, now come all the way back here and look 126 years. Do you realize what's changed? It's a different world. A whole new world. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Yeah, thank you, guys. Give them a big hand. They read their parts so well. If they speak, you have to pay them more. Look, I was kidding this morning and talking about when Brother Luther King was here, we were trying to finish the siding on my house. But someone planned poorly and didn't buy enough material, and the material has to be ordered like 2 months in advance. So 2 years, I still haven't finished siding this house. 2 more years, I'll get her done. But I ran out of siding. And Brother Luther King had to leave early because his brother passed away. But we redid the porch there, got the siding on it. I took all this junk that had been on the front and got it off. Really looks nice. My wife, I'm sure, will have many pictures to show you. All the stone there, and I cleared all the stuff off there and all the goofy stuff that was nailed and hanging, got it all off there. Nice stone, imitation stone siding. It looks beautiful. And my wife says, "You know, there's a porch swing on the front porch." Realize I have 3 swings in my house, one on the back deck, one on the porch here, and one down in the yard. Enough swings to be a playground. Anyway, she says, "Boy, the yellow cushions on the other swing would look so nice here now. They would look so good." I said, no. The cushion on that swing is sort of it's got some sort of a pattern, but it's sort of got some burgundy and some browns in it. Looks good against the sandstone color of the siding. It looks real good. And I'm talking about, okay, you see, don't tell me. Let me think for a second. No, let me think now. I keep wanting to say Isabel, and that's not right. Let me think. Shannon and Joshua, Noah, Abigail. Okay, Abigail. You see the yellow in Abigail's blouse, dress, skirt, whatever that thing is? You see the yellow there? You see how bright that yellow is? That's the yellow I'm talking about. I'm not talking about some soft pastel. I'm talking about big, bold yellow. She said, "Those yellow cushions will look so good." I said, "No. Since I put that swing up, that's the cushion that's been on it. Cushion's in fine shape. Leave it alone." "Oh, but that yellow will look so good." You know how it is? Wouldn't quit. I said, "Fine. I don't sit on this swing anyway. I rarely come in the front door. Put whatever cushion you want." So she put the yellow cushions on there. You see, now, and she says, now, look at that. Doesn't that look good? Do you want to know the truth or you want to make you feel good? No, it doesn't look good to me. Do you know why? It's different. It's different. I don't like change. But I got news for you. The sheer fact that when time clicks away, the clock, the calendar, for some of us, the sundial, tells us time moves on. And sometimes you have to say, it's time. It's time. I can't part with things. I can't part with old shoes, clothes. I have old shoes that my wife waits till I'm gone and she throws away. I have a pair of shoes that I've used shoe glue and duct tape on. They're work shoes, and they work just fine. Every once in a while, you got to put a little glue on them, put some duct tape on it, set it on a shelf with a brick on it or something, and next time you go to use it, it's ready to go. She will throw those away. I have other shoes. I have other work shoes. I probably have three other pairs of work shoes, but I like those shoes. I've had them a long time, maybe 27 years. I had them before I went to Minnesota. We're old friends. Why do you want to throw away my shoes? And at some point, my wife will look at me and say, Joe, it's time. You know what she's telling me? It's time to embrace change. That's a hard thing. It's a hard thing for me. It was hard for me to embrace change when I left Pennsylvania to come to Minnesota. It was hard to embrace change to come from Minnesota to here. Hard for me to embrace change as time has gone on. Always, I struggle with it. As much as I know it's important and it's a part of life. I watched my grandson, the first grandchild born into our family, and I see him as a 16-year-old that's driving and spending his summer working at the Christian camp up there and talking about a part-time job so he can save money for college in 2 more years. And I'm thinking, what? And I said to him, you're not cute anymore. You used to be a cute little boy, and now you're this ugly teenage thing. Stop. I have a picture of 2 years ago. Jenna and Jocelyn and I are making a video when they were here for a summer for 10 days. And Jenna is this big, and Jocelyn is this big. And we're singing, that famous Christian classic, My Girl. But I'm saying My Girls. And we're sending it to her daddy because he couldn't come with them. She was this big. 2 years ago, she's taller than her dad, almost as tall as her mother. Her mother stands about 5'9". Her dad stands about 5'7". She's taller than her dad. She doesn't even look like the same person. I look at the picture and I say, I wish it was the way it used to be. All the wishes in the world don't change time, does it? Time moves on. I said all that to set the stage to make you understand that at some point we have to resign ourselves to God, who is the supreme controller, the creator of time, the controller of time, and he will be the ender of time when time will be no more. He started it when evening and morning were the first day. He will end it when time will be no more. And in between then, he is the only one who controls it. He has moved time up and he has moved time back in his will. The ultimate controller of time. And so I say to you, as we go through some changes, and they're not drastic changes, I mean, we're not talking about, you know, the fact that, you know, we're going to lose a limb and walk around with a peg leg the rest of our life or something. I mean, but I say to you that it's time we start to understand at some point it's just time. It's time for change. God's relationship to time is explained to us very clearly in the Psalms. Psalm 90. Verse 1 says, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, forever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are as but yesterday, when it is past, and as a watch in the night. The psalmist is expressing the fact that God is the same God today he was yesterday. And I got news for you. He's going to be the same God tomorrow. Time does not have a bearing on who God is. And so my God, when things change, remains the same. And so it's important for me in the midst of change not to allow my faith to change. It troubles me that people leave, like for instance, people I've known for many, many years, leave one ministry and go to another, and all of a sudden their standards have all changed. Their philosophy has all changed. Their idea about the Bible has changed. Their idea about music has changed. Everything's changed. Why? Because you went from, you know, Ohio to another state, because you went from this church to that church. Why did everything change? Either you never believed it, or in the midst of change, the devil duped you into changing everything. Look, we changed some of the siding on the house and the cushions on the porch. We didn't change everything. The core stays the same. We didn't knock down the foundation of the house and change it. It stays the same. The footprint of the house stayed the same. The framing of the house stayed the same. The house stayed the same. Some things changed, but they were very superficial, if you will. And you got to understand when things go through life and there's changes going on in your life, you cannot allow the devil to dupe you into allowing important things to change. God isn't subject to change, and the things that you have believed in your life that are definite convictions of life should never change. You're convinced about them from the Scriptures. The Scripture doesn't change, so I do not change on that subject. Not only does God's relationship to time stay consistent, but the gospel's relationship to time stays consistent. What do you mean? Life is still brief. Men still die and go to hell. The gospel is still urgent. None of that changes. None of that changes. And so we must be very diligent not to allow things to be altered as we transition and make changes in life. Because quite often we will back away from all of those valuable and important things. People are going to die and go to hell next week, just like they died and went to hell this week. And that doesn't change because things in our life changed. It's not going to change because they're moving. It's not going to change because you move. Doesn't change. Still the same. Still the same. You know, it's a true adage that sometimes the more things change, the more things stay the same. You know, in 1896, when hardly anyone had indoor plumbing, people were dying and going to hell. And here we are, 126 years later, in 2022, and guess what? People are dying and going to hell, even though you have an indoor toilet. In 1896, you'd have come here on a wagon, or a horse, or you'd have walked, or believe it or not, maybe ridden a bicycle. Bicycles were much more popular than the very few remnants of different kinds of cars that existed. There wouldn't be a parking lot full of cars. You'd have never had asphalt. Asphalt wasn't even been used yet. You wouldn't have air conditioning. Good Lord, you wouldn't have padded on the pews. You're lucky if you had a pew in 1896. But I got news for you. People were still dying and going to hell the same way they were 126 years ago. The same book I'm preaching from was being preached from in churches like ours 126 years ago. The same truths were being preached and taught and extolled. They haven't changed. So don't change what's important in the midst of change. God's relationship to time does not change. The gospel's relationship to time doesn't change. Godliness should not change either. You know, when the psalmist said in those famous verses we so often read in Psalm 90 and verse 12, "So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom," I want you to understand that our godliness should not change. And at some point, you have to look down life and the corridor of life and say, "I'm closer to this end of the tunnel than to that end." Okay? We all realizing that? You know, if you're older than 45, you're closer. Look, 45, it would take you to be 90, right? To be in the middle of the tunnel. If you're 45, I got news, 45 or older, we're closer to that end of the tunnel than that end. Right? And I don't know about you, but I don't want to go out of this life and meet God in a backslidden condition. I don't want to go out and meet God having dropped all the things that back here we were so spiritual, doing all these good and godly things, and somehow over time they just started to fall away. I got news for you. We should be more spiritual now. The closer we get to the grave, the closer we get to know. Look, we could all meet God at any time. We know that. I mean, Brother Luther King's brother was just a couple years older than me. He's the youngest in that family. You know, and they found him laying beside his tractor in the field. They think he had a heart attack. Got off the tractor because of chest pains or something and just fell over dead. They found him laying in the field. They were just the three brothers. Luther King's the oldest, Jason. And that was the baby. The three brothers just last week went out to Nebraska and were doing prairie dog hunting for a farmer out there that has trouble with prairie dogs. They each shot over 100 each. Had a big time together. And Jason said to his brother, "Aren't you glad we made that trip together? The last thing the three brothers would get to do together." Hey, listen to me. We know life is brief and we could all meet God in a second. This may be the last time we ever meet together. And if that be the case, I don't want to get closer to this end of the tunnel, dropping all the things that I've learned along the way. Good night. We should have learned something along this journey. I would hope that after 63 years, I learned something. And pastor, in 42 years, I would hope that I've learned something. I hope that I'm better off now than I was 42 years ago when I started this ministry. I'm saying in the midst of change, don't allow the important things to change. Make sure that your time is time well spent. That's what he says when he says, teach us to number our days. Don't waste your days. The psalmist said that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. It's a foolish thing to waste your days. Foolish thing. Foolish, foolish, foolish thing. You know, people always wish near the end of life that they had more time. I got news for you. If you've been wasting time, if you had more time, you'd waste it too. Now, if you're a person that's wisely using your time, if you have more time, you'll wisely use that too. Just the volume of it doesn't change the application of it. The volume of it doesn't change the way you use it or utilize it. So I'm trying to plead with you and beg you in this simple sermon to take a look at time, understand that time necessitates, there we go, a certain amount of change, but you need to be diligent not to allow important things to change for the worse, but in fact, we should be changing for the better because we are growing in grace. When I look at my grandson and I'm upset about change, I can't stop that because he's growing, right? I look at Jenna and I think, man, you know, I don't know how old she is. She's too big. She's too tall. And I miss that little girl. My first, second grandchild, but the first grandbaby girl, granddaughter we had. And, you know, I miss that little girl. And now she's a teenage girl. And soon she'll have a boyfriend that I will want to kill. And Lord forbid, someday she's going to get married. I don't know why it doesn't bother me to think of my grandson getting married, but it really bothers me to think of my granddaughter getting married. But that happens with growth. Growth brings about change, and it should be positive change. So in your life, if you've been saved for a period of time, as most of us have, there should be change. You should be growing. More like the master, the songwriter said, I would ever be. Growing, moving, positive direction. And sometimes you have to take a step back so you take a step forward. Sometimes you have to back up a little bit, hit the reset button, and move on. I get it. I understand it. But just because something happens that might seem like a little setback in your life doesn't mean you keep moving in the wrong direction. Make sure you understand that when time changes, we should allow spiritual growth to change us in the right direction. But make sure that we don't change the important things of life. Someone wrote, the button of life has been running on play, but has rapidly moved to fast forward. I've slipped well past my allotted time and right into time that is borrowed. Like the blink of an eye, the years flash by. Too fast they move, too fast. What once was the future, still hidden from sight, has somehow become part of the past. But I'll fret not about the time that is lost. I think that I shall instead be thankful for the time that is left and look forward for what God is planning ahead. It's time. Sometimes it's just time. I want you to understand that if God is a creator of time, the closer of time, and the controller of time, that I need to take my time, really, which is borrowed from God, and give it back to Him. I had a fellow here one time say to me, we were changing something, and he said, I was changing I don't want to tell you too much, you don't know who it is. And they don't come here anymore, but I was changing something, and we were going to go visiting on a different day, and he said to me, well, good, I'd like to get back my Saturdays. And I said, your Saturdays? You created Saturday? I didn't know you owned Saturday. I didn't realize it was your day. I thought every day belonged to the Lord. This is a day that the Lord hath made. I'll rejoice and be glad therein. I didn't realize it was your day. I thought it was God's day. He just got quiet and looked at me. And I wasn't kidding. It made me angry. Glad I can get back my Saturdays. Your Saturdays? Your Saturdays? You created that day? What are you saying to me? I'm saying let's decide that whatever time we have, we will give our time back to the Lord. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes with me this afternoon? Father, I pray that you bless us. And Lord, I pray that you teach us these valuable lessons about time. Help us to understand that time does not stand still for any man, but time does stand still for you, because you're not subject to it. As the creator, the closer, and the controller of time, I pray, God, that you would help us in the midst of change that is inevitable and necessary to not allow the important things to change. And then may we look prophetically down the tunnel of life forward and be wise enough to invest the time that we have left, putting our time in your hands and in your control. Teach us, Lord, to number our days. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. I wonder if you'd say, preacher, I'm a Christian, know that I'm saved, but the Holy Spirit of God is speaking in my heart about some things concerning time. Would you pray with me about that, preacher? Here's my hand. Would you pray with me? Yes, God bless you. God bless you. I see those hands. Anyone else? Include me in the prayer, preacher. Yes, sir. God bless you. I wonder maybe if you're here this afternoon, you say, you know what, preacher? The Holy Spirit's convicting me that I'm not really saved. I'm not sure I'll be in heaven, but I'd like to be. Would you pray with me about that? Anybody like that? Just slip your hand up for a moment. Put it right back down. Preacher, pray with me. Father, I pray for each of these to raise a hand. Pray that you'd speak to our hearts and help us to understand that sometimes it's just time for some things to change. And yet, it's never time for us to allow spiritual things, convictions, to change. Help us to grow and grow more like the Master, not less. May we understand the biblical application of utilizing our time. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. The Holy Spirit of God is speaking to your heart. I want you to come to an old-fashioned altar and do something about it while the music plays. And that's right, just slip out and come. Time. It's time. Sometimes it's just time.